Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, usually 6 years out of every seven, the Sunday after the Epiphany, which we celebrated last Sunday, is the feast of the baptism of the Lord. But when Christmas falls on a Sunday, they change the calendar around a little bit, and we already celebrated that quietly last Monday instead of having a Sunday Mass. However, the Gospel reading today is about the baptism of the Lord, and so in fact, we can think of ourselves celebrating and honouring the Lord's baptism today and thinking about what that means for us. Perhaps a key word to focus our reflections this morning is the word vocation, which simply means calling, what God calls us to do. All of the three readings this morning, and also the psalm we sang this morning, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will." All of us are called to this life God has given us here, each of us a special mission, a calling to do his will in this short life we have here on earth before eternity begins. And finding out God's will for our lives and doing it is basically the most important thing that we can do while we're alive here on earth. The first reading speaks about the vocation or calling of the people of Israel. The prophet Isaiah, or God speaking through him, says, "Israel, you're called to be my people, but not just you alone." He said, "It's not enough that I've called you and revealed my word to you. You will be a light to all nations. Everyone will come to see the glory of the Lord through you." And of course, that prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus, who comes to be the Savior, not just of the Jewish people, but of all of us. In the Gospel, we heard John the Baptist. At first, he's not too sure which of the hundreds, maybe thousands of people coming out to the Jordan River for baptism, how is he going to identify which is the Son of God? He knows he's been called to prepare the way for the Savior, the Messiah. But although, of course, there was that famous supernatural meeting between the two unborn children, remember we celebrate in the visitation of Our Lady to Elizabeth when they were both pregnant with Jesus and John the Baptist respectively, and the little baby John the Baptist somehow recognized the presence of God and jumped in the womb of Elizabeth. We read about it in St. Luke's Gospel. But it seems while they were growing up, and while they were at least while young adults, John and Jesus didn't have much contact, and so John didn't know how to recognize Jesus. But he said, "God told me, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descending in the form of a dove, that's the one that you are to baptize as being the chosen one, the promised Savior, the Messiah." And so John baptizes Jesus, feeling very unworthy. He said, "You should baptize me." Our Lord doesn't really need any baptism for the forgiveness of sins, of course. He's completely the Holy One. Why does Jesus accept baptism? For various reasons. Maybe the most important one, he wants to identify himself with us sinners. We are the ones who need washing from sin. Jesus doesn't, but he wants to show by this sacred action of accepting baptism that he is putting himself in the place of sinners. He's the one who first of all says to the Father, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." And so Jesus' baptism is the beginning of the fulfillment of his mission, of his vocation. He's been preparing for this quietly for 33 years. Probably just working as a humble carpenter there in Nazareth. It seems Saint Joseph has passed away by this time. We never hear about him except when Jesus is a child. But now at 33 years of age or thereabouts, our Lord comes out to make himself known. He's now beginning his vocation of salvation, starting off putting himself in the place of sinners and accepting the washing of John's baptism. So that reminds all of us that our baptism too is a vocation, it's a calling. When we were baptized, most of us as little babies, maybe a few as adults, but when we were baptized, God adopted us as his special children. In a general sense, we're all God's children, right? But when we're baptized, we're part of his holy family. And he gives us a calling, a vocation. And what does that vocation consist on? It consists in loving and knowing and worshipping him. Baptism is the most important, the first step in our calling of our whole life's mission. And after that, God makes his will known to us in different ways throughout our life, calling us and leading us to show us what he wants to do with our life. But it begins with baptism, called to worship God, to love him and adore him. Later on in confirmation, we receive a strengthening of his Holy Spirit, and then we're called by that sacrament to be his witnesses, to not only worship and love him, but to spread his word by our own example and what we do and what we say. All part of our vocation, but it begins with baptism. And finally, we must remember the second reading this morning, that St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he says, I've called you to be holy with all of those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. That reminds us that our call as Christians isn't just to be kind of average, mediocre Christians. Well, I go to Mass on Sundays and that's it. That's setting the bar very low. I remember about 70, 80 years ago, there was a famous English writer, Catholic writer. He lived at the same time as the famous G.K. Chesterton and Hilaire Belloc. His name was Arnold Lunn, a British writer. He was a convert. He'd been an atheist for many years, and he became a Catholic, and he made a sort of a little half-serious comment, sort of jokingly. He said, the main aim of the Catholic Church is to get as many souls as possible into purgatory. Well, I mean, you can see what he's getting at. Maybe most of us are going to need some purgatory before we get to heaven. But that's kind of setting the bar a little low, right? Because what God wants is we become not just sort of average Christians who are still kind of pretty mediocre. He calls us to be saints. Vatican Council II emphasizes this in its main document, the Constitution on the Church. It's always been the teaching of the Church that we are called to become saints, and that everyone, doesn't matter what state of life you're in, we have the opportunity, the graces to become really holy, to become outstanding as men and women of God. And the Council emphasized that. It's always been the Church's teaching, but for a long time, maybe for some centuries, in recent centuries, there was a tendency for Catholics to think, well, becoming holy or becoming a saint, well, that's only for priests and nuns and religious brothers. That's if you're really kind of deeply religious, you're going to go into the church professionally and become a sister or a priest or a brother. That's what holiness is all about. I'm just a kind of average Christian Joe and I don't really go for that stuff. No, well, the Council says that's not good enough. Very important. Being saints is not something to which only priests and nuns and religious brothers are called. It's something that every one of us is called to become. And God wants to give us all the graces, whatever we're doing, as in married couples, in our work, as young people, students, he's giving us the graces to become truly holy. come closer to him day by day. So let's thank God this morning for our vocation, the calling that God gave us when we were baptized, saying, "You're my beloved son or daughter. I want to be close to you. I want you to come close to me throughout your life and to make me known to others. I'll show you the way in the circumstances of your daily life, whether they're good or bad, whether they're difficult or happy or sad times. I will be with you, showing you the way." So let's give thanks to God for our calling in baptism and ask him for that guidance to help us fulfill his will and become truly holy, truly saints, knowing that this is the calling of each one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.